The ritual and beauty of this service is so beautiful that I thought to myself during the liturgy, first portion of the liturgy, if I wasn't a convert, I would be a convert all over again. Which reminds a story to my mind. Up until 13 years ago, I used to go to Constantinople every year to visit my grandmother, who lived there by herself. And during these visits, we would tour the important places of that city. We would see some churches. And one day when I was walking down in the city center, I had this urging feeling to go into the biggest Roman Catholic church there was, called St. Antoine's Church, St. Anthony's Church. And I couldn't help myself but walk into the church, and I saw various Christians, foreign people, even Muslims lighting candles, looking at the statues and the stained glass, and I was absolutely overtaken by this as a Muslim. Then I noticed a box on the way out, because I lit a candle. It said, if you light a candle, you should probably make a donation. Well, almsgiving was a part of our tradition, so I gave a donation, and a nun came out and said, you know, we have some New Testaments. If you like, you could have one. I didn't want to be rude to a little old lady, and I said, sure, I will take the New Testament. I took the New Testament, which was in my language, and brought it home and never really touched it again. And showing it to my grandmother said, you know, this is the week, this is the time period where Christians remember Paschalia, which means Easter for us, and perhaps it would be a good thing for us to have some Paschalia bread from the Russian bakery. Well, that was certainly strange for a Muslim grandmother to ask. I said, sure, and went to this Russian bakery, and I got this Paschalia bread, which was a wheat bread that is a little bit sweet, and we ate, and we never talked about it again. But the question came to the mind, what is Easter? Now, this week being very busy for those of us who are of the clergy and the choir, energy gets low, the rituals get longer, and I received a phone call from my mother fussing about the fact that I haven't called her, and she said, well, this Easter thing must be very, very wearisome for you. I said, it's not even Easter yet. But she said, well, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask you every year. I said, what? And she said, what is Easter? After rolling my eyes, I said, Mom, it's the same answer. Jesus died and he resurrected from the dead and he saved all people and reconciled them to God through his resurrection. She said, I don't occupy myself with great matters that are too big for me. And I said, well, that's why you have me, Mom, to preach you the good news. But being from Constantinople, I'm going to reflect on a great church father, St. John of Chrysostom, an Archbishop of Constantinople, in his most brilliant but brief Easter homily that describes us the question, what is Easter? And these are his words. He says, if anyone be a devout lover of God, let him partake with gladness from this fair and radiant feast. If anyone be a faithful servant, let him enter rejoicing into the joy of his Lord. If anyone have wearied himself with fasting, let him now enjoy his reward. If anyone have labored from the first hour, let him receive today his rightful due. If anyone have come after the third, let him celebrate the feast with thankfulness. If anyone have come after the sixth, let him not be in doubt, for he will suffer loss. If anyone have delayed until the ninth, let him not hesitate but draw near. And if anyone have arrived only at the 11th, referring to those of us who only go to church twice a year, let him not be afraid because he comes so late. For our master is generous and accepts the last even as the first. He gives rest to him who comes at the 11th hour, in the same was as him who has labored from the first. He accepts the deed and commends the intention. Enter then, all of you, into the joy of our Lord. First and last, receive alike your reward. Rich and poor, dance together. You who fasted and you who have not fasted, rejoice together. The table is fully laden. Let all enjoy it. The calf is fatted. Let none go away hungry. Let none lament his poverty, for the universal kingdom is revealed. Let none bewail his transgressions, for the light of forgiveness has risen from the tomb. Let none fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed death by undergoing death. He has despoiled hell by descending into hell. He vexed it even as it tasted of its flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he cried, "Hell was filled with bitterness when it met thee face to face below. Hell was filled with bitterness, for it was brought to nothing. Hell was filled with bitterness, for it was mocked. Hell filled with bitterness, for it was overthrown. Hell was filled with bitterness, for it was put in chains. Hell received a body and encountered God. It received earth and confronted heaven. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and the life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of its death. For Christ, having risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And today we have the joy of receiving two adult people into the family of God, which we call Christian body. Let those who say Christianity is dead see this moment to see Christ is alive in these young people. Christ is alive in this congregation, because Christ has bursted the gates of death and have come to bring our humanity into its fullness. To him be glory and power, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.